Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
The Quilted Bananas program plays every Sunday, 10 to 11 a.m. with news, views and music.
A collective of presenters, advertisers, community events and discusses news of interest to lesbians, queer women and non-binary folk.
We have interviews about past and future sports and cultural events, politics, films, art shows.
The program is sponsored through the generosity of the Rural Foundation.
And it plays every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. on Wellington Access Radio, 106.1 FM.
Oh, kia ora, welcome. You are with the Femme Rants Show on Access Radio in Wellington. And we are doing a new thing, which is a pre-record in the studio. So it's very exciting. Kind of reminds me of one of those TV shows, like Kura is on the other side through a special window, and me and my amazing guest, who I'm going to introduce to you, are in the studio. So yeah, like being on a TV show. I'm Sian Quinnell Torrington, and this is the Femme Rants Show, and you will be listening to this on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So I hope you've all had a really wonderful, sexy, beautiful, or relaxing, or whatever you like to have Saturday night. And now it's Sunday morning, and we really love to start our shows with a bit of a banger, we call it, a song that might help you to have a dance in your bed or your kitchen. You might be an early bird, get moving and move into your day. So this song is one that I really love and I dance a lot to in my lounge, and I thought it was appropriate because we have just had our amazing Pride Festival. Shout out to all of the organisers and artists and everyone who made it fantastic. And this song is called Pride, and it's Grace.
Well, we're a long way from the Stonewall Inn. I'm standing on this platform, no one's stopping me to sing, but there's a multitude of sins that can hide behind your hashtag. Tell me again how love wins. Well, there's nothing new about this rage. It's a war that's always waged. Like how no one bats an eye that when 50 of us die in it, it doesn't even make the Daily Mail front page. Well, sometimes it's like an uphill climb. Yes, sometimes it's like an uphill climb, but I'm right by your side, and that's what we call pride. No, you don't want to face the fact that each and every day we're still being attacked. And sometimes it's by guns, and sometimes it's by words, and sometimes it's by the North Carolina Bathroom Act. And yet, we're the same as everyone. We're all under the same sun. But if you're trying to suggest this is just about the West, we've spent our whole lives looking down the barrel of that gun. And sometimes it's like an uphill climb. Yes, sometimes it's like an uphill climb, but I'm right by your side, and that's what we call pride. Thank you. and the love we have each other will defeat the hate we suffer. You're my sisters, brothers, and all that's in between. And if everything that I'm made of was fashioned by your God above, it was him that gave this kind of love to me. But sometimes it's like an uphill climb. Yes, sometimes it's like an uphill climb.
That was Pride by Grace Petrie, and we've just been having a chat in the studio. I got to see Grace Petrie live in Utsiputi, Dunedin, in the last couple of years, and she will be playing in Wellington, I think, next year now, and is absolutely amazing to see live. And in Dunedin, nobody danced except for me, which is extraordinary to me, but I'm sure when she comes to Wellington, people will dance. So you're on the Femme Rants show. I'm Shan, and I have in the studio with me a very special guest. And so I'm just going to read this very special bio. So I have here Lily Catastrophe, who is a Wellington-based award-winning comedian and burlesque performer. Winner of Best New Comedian at the Wellington Comedy Awards 2024 and Breakthrough Comedian at the 2025 Awards, Lily cemented her status as one to watch with her genre-bending debut solo show Bottom Surgery, which received wide critical acclaim during the New Zealand Fringe Festival and New Zealand Comedy Festival in 2025. The show won Best Cabaret at the Nelson Fringe Awards, and Lily was further nominated for Most Promising Emerging Artist during the New Zealand Fringe Awards and Best Newcomer Wellington at the New Zealand International Comedy Festival Awards. So that is a lot of amazing things, and I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself in whatever way you like now.
Oh, okay. Hello.
No pressure.
Hello, I'm Lily Catastrophe. I'm a comedian and a burlesque performer. I think that basically sums up. That was a very beautiful intro that you gave me, and I'm not really sure how else I'm supposed to add to it. I am a straight woman. There we go. Just launch right into it. I've done comedy since 2024, and I've been doing burlesque since around 2022. So yeah, that's who I am as a person.
Amazing. And it sounds to me like you are a very prolific showmaker and artist and performer as well, which I admire very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And I believe you've had shows in the Fringe that we've just had recently.
Yeah.
And the new show that you've got coming up is called Little Sister.
Yes.
And I've got writing about this here, but I'm wondering, can you tell us a little bit about this show?
Yeah, so Little Sister is my, it's my debut stand-up solo hour. So this is the first time I'll just be doing stand-up. It's not a variety show. There's no burlesque, there's no cabaret in it. It's just me talking for an hour and kind of making jokes at you and doing comedy. So that is kind of what Little Sister is. One of the things that I kind of already foreshadowed very smoothly and very gracefully is that it covers my long-term relationship with my partner. I'm a straight woman, I'm a trans woman, and quite often there are like some of these like weird contradictions that come into play when I'm in like queer spaces, or that, you know, kind of all my friends are like lesbians or non-binary people, and so it's kind of this like odd interplay of feeling a little bit like almost like a trad wife in some of these spaces sometimes, because I'm in a very heterosexual long-term monogamous relationship. And so a lot of the humor comes from that kind of you know, that expectation of like, oh, like, you know, as a trans woman, a lot of people assume things about me that maybe are not true. And so it's kind of, yeah, playing around with that. So that's kind of what Little Sister is. I also talk a little bit about my family and being a little sister in there and feeling like I have arrested development, I suppose. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I have to try and choose the thing to pick up on, because I'm a big sister, so I have little sisters,
yeah.
And I think I have that like big sister energy, like my partner calls it sandpit friend sometimes, yeah. Where it's like a welcome energy,
yeah.
But one where it's like, I'm the boss and I want you to go and do this thing for me,
yeah.
And stuff like that. So.
Yeah, yeah, I'm definitely little sister, chaos. Very bad at thinking about consequences. Just kind of go ahead and do things and say things on a stage.
Well, that's a good thing. That's what you need to do on the stage, right? Like when you say to me, oh, you know, it's me standing up on a stage for an hour and making jokes, I'm just like, oh, that sounds absolutely quite terrifying.
Yeah.
So I have asked comedians on this show before, but I'm like constantly fascinated by how do you learn how to do that? Like, have you been to this special course thing that happens in Wellington?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a natural born yapper. So I've always kind of yapped my whole life. And I think that, you know, growing up queer, like, I think you kind of learn how to deal with situations and kind of move, you know, disarm people with words and humor and kind of all of those things. And I have also done Wellington, the comedy school that Neil Thornton runs, which a lot of fantastic comedians have also gone through. And there's like a whole cohort of us going through Comedy Fest this year as well. So yeah, I think that the, I mean, how you get, but like, you know, at its most basic sense, I guess, the most easy way to get on a stage and end up doing an hour of jokes on a stage is just to get up and do 5 minutes on a stage and figure out, do I like it? What do I want to do with it? How do I feel about it when I'm up there? And then, you know, yeah, you keep going with it.
And I think, I know someone who did that course recently, and he said to me, oh, it's like, the ordinary things about your life that are the funny things, like you don't have to kind of make something up necessarily. So I guess what I hear you say about your hour of stand-up comedy is that you are saying these things that people say to you, these maybe stupid questions or kind of, I think you called it like assumptions or comments that are maybe unfortunately part of your everyday kind of reality. And yeah, do you keep lists or?
I actually don't. and this is really bad of me. I'm a bad comedian. And the reason why I have is because I don't keep those lists. I know a bunch of people who walk around and they've got books and they're really religious about writing stuff down when it comes. I should do that because everything falls out of my brain almost immediately, but I'm also really bad at it. So yes, I should keep lists. I don't. I think that I often just go with whatever tickles my fancy, you know, like that's kind of the way that I write. I don't want to call it intuitive because it's not, and there's a process to chipping away at things and going, cool, this was an interesting situation. Do I want to work on it a little bit more? Is it suitable for like you know, saying on a stage or anything like that? But yeah, I think I wish I was better at the lists.
I guess it makes me think about lists because often those things that people say to us as queer and or trans and non-binary people, or it's like they think that they're the first person who's ever asked you this question or made this comment, but actually you hear it
all the time.
Many, many times.
Yeah.
And yeah, I appreciate your description about growing up queer, growing up trans, and learning to kind of like deflect and play. It's almost like playing with people's behavior, right?
Yeah.
Like, because you see it all the time.
And you play with that energy that they have. And, you know, kind of ultimately what you want to do is you want to make sure that the interaction or whatever it is that you're doing is a good one. And that, you know, kind of, I mean, like, you know, I want to relate to people, you know, like I love relating to people. I love feeling connections with people. And, you know, sometimes there might be a little bit more of a barrier from their side of, you know, whether or not they want to, you know, have a connection or a relationship with me. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, how do I get to the point where we're both having fun? And I think that's, yeah, maybe where a lot of that kind of learning to yap and disarm people and all that comes from. I'm also doing a lot of hand gestures, I'm realizing. I'm just like constantly waving my hands around that you can't see in an audio medium, but yes, I'm doing word jujitsu.
Yeah.
Wait, is that right? Aikido.
And I enjoy it very much because I'm a visual artist, so it kind of, I often say to people, like, I think in pictures, and so it's, yeah, so I kind of see the drawing that you're making in space, maybe. And yeah, I mean, it's, I find it very moving to hear you say that, you know, that you want to relate to people, you want to make a connection with people, and with all the rubbish that is floating around in the world at the moment about our communities and about trans people and misinformation, fear, and just rubbish. It's just like space rubbish just floating around and kind of attaching itself to people and our communities. And just to have that reality check of like, hey, I want to relate to you. Yeah. And I'm putting all of this effort and energy into being able to do that. And maybe you could just come to the party and meet me there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I want to ask, like, is your show, does it have an element of kind of speaking out loud what is happening into the room and then playing with it? Do you know what I mean? Like kind of saying the unsaid or...
Yeah, I think I would say that is going to be something... I think that I'm going to play a lot with what is like kind of implied within the lines. So I think that I might not be speaking out loud, but I am speaking it into the room, if that makes sense. I think, yeah, within kind of the metaphor of that as kind of, you know, kind of I want to make sure that I think that a lot of my audience will already know what it is I'm trying to say.
Mm.
And so we don't need to do that like 101 stuff that sometimes you have to do when the audience is maybe less au fait with what you're talking about. Yeah. So I think that it's going to, I think it's just going to be fun.
Yeah. Cool. and what is your, talk to me about your audience. Like who is your kind of ideal audience? I mean, cause there is such a difference, isn't there, between a kind of education piece and you're like, I want to kind of try and bring you along, but I know that I need to give you some extra information and then being kind of in and around our own communities.
I think that, you know, kind of I am a trans comedian and that is how people see me and perceive me. And so a lot of my audience are going to be queer and trans folk, right? And so I think that in terms of being able to use that kind of social change element, it's probably less important to me for this one because like, you know, with bottom surgery, a little bit of it was me being like, oh, like we need to fund bottom surgery. And then the more I did it, the more I found that like the majority of people who came to the show already, you know, on the same page, trans, you know, people who are friends, you know, friends and whānau of trans folk. That's my primary audience. I would love to get like a mainstream audience, obviously, to be like, hey, we can actually, you know, see trans people and not be scared of us. Like, I'm just a goofball on a stage saying words, saying, doing, giving you my silly little thoughts. Yeah. But, you know, those probably aren't going to be the audiences that turn up to the show. And that's not by design. That is just by the very fact that a lot of those people will see, you know, trans comedian and immediately go, nah, I'm not going to come to that. So, you know, kind of, yeah, I think my ideal audience is a broad audience where I would love to be able to go, hey, like, I'm just a person and, you know, you can come and watch me and we can laugh and share a connection and relate to each other and not have it be like this big, weird thing. But I think that, you know, a lot of my audience is going to be queer. And I love that because queer audiences are awesome. And, you know, we have a shared understanding already and I don't need to go through a lot of stuff and it just makes it easier for me to kind of talk about things that maybe connect us a little bit better and stronger. Yeah.
It is amazing how how narrow we make our lives, eh? Like, I'm kind of like, yes, go to things that are by people who come from a different culture to me, or who have different lived experience to me, or and I mean, I always think, like, I learn best through art.
Yeah.
You know, through whatever it is, poetry, theatre, music, and listening and expanding my universe. But, yeah, I know that, yeah, people are like, oh, that's not for me because I'm not trans, or that's not for me because I'm Pākehā or whatever. And it's like, people's art is there to share their worlds with you. Like, that's what people are putting this massive amount of energy into, and you can go and you can learn heaps, or even just come away with lots of different questions maybe after an hour of comedy. And but I also love hearing and kind of imagining you in a room with an audience that actually makes you feel comfortable and good as well. And I'm wondering, like, what is it about comedy, like, why, like, why do we need to laugh together? Like,
I love comedy. As someone who does comedy, like, you know, is on the stage and talking to people, I love kind of getting that moment where you've kind of clicked with an audience and you can kind of move their energy around and you go, cool, you're laughing. And you know, sometimes, you know, when I was down in Dunedin, for example, you know, very recently for Dunedin Fringe, it's like this group of, like, you know, kind of older straight couples. And so I, you know, was able to form that connection with them a little bit and just go, cool, like, we're going to have fun together. I think that laughing together really means that you kind of, like, it's really, like, it goes, laughing is such, like, a, what's the word for it? Like, it's you can fake it, but you can fake it only up to a point. And then there's a point after which you go, oh, I'm laughing because I'm having fun. And it's not, like, something that you can really control at that point. And I think that that's the moment where you go, cool, actually, we have this just, like, completely undeniable shared experience. And I think that's really beautiful, and I really like being able to pull that out of people when I'm doing comedy, of being like, cool, actually, you are having fun, and that means that we are connected in this moment right here, right now. And no matter what happens, no matter kind of what your belief system is, or no matter where you've come from, or, you know, whatever, any of that nonsense, it's not all nonsense, but, you know, no matter what, all, you know, all of the other stuff, all of the other stuff that's going on, we have built that this connection right here, right now. And you can't change that once that's happened.
Beautiful description. Thank you. Yeah, that's really beautiful. And I mean, there's a lot of practice and tradition around comedy being a space where we can talk about things that we can't talk about in other spaces, like, that we can joke about, or, and I'm so interested in that, like, there's this quote which I've always known as attributed to Freud, which is, a joke is the epitaph upon the death of a feeling.
Interesting.
So so it's that thing where it's like, I do want to talk about this thing, but I'm ashamed, so I'm going to make a joke of it.
Yeah.
Right? And then probably say to people, oh, I was just joking.
Yeah.
You know, because you've made a revolting joke.
Yeah.
But it is something that you have questions about, or you want to talk about, or, yeah. So for me, especially over the last few years in Wellington, like, going to see more women comedians, more queer and trans and non-binary comedians, there's this wonderful culture where the comedians are actually in charge of that process, and it's quite different to that.
I think we're really lucky in Wellington that I think that there's, like, a really good group of us that, like, you know, kind of we know that we're good people, and that we're, you know, kind of really not interested in punching down or anything like that. And I think that there's a really good culture in Wellington of that, you know, kind of, for the most part. I think that, some people do, you know, kind of make revolting jokes. That still happens. Usually newer comedians have come on the scene and they're doing an open mic and they're testing out material for the first time, and you're just kind of like, yo, buddy, no. People are quite quick to talk to people when they do stuff like that. And so I think it's like an interesting, I think it is an interesting kind of navigation of, like, what it is that we want to talk about and understand more versus kind of some stuff that might actually just do harm to someone in the room. And, you know, kind of the former, totally fine. The latter, probably not okay, or at least someone will talk to you and go, hey, buddy, like, that's maybe you want to consider not doing that again. Yeah.
That's so cool that, yeah, there's a community and a community of practicing and checking with each other. And that's, yeah, it's not like we're always going to get everything right or make the right judgment calls. But, yeah, being able to pick each other up.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And, like, I've told jokes that I've, like, kind of, you know, kind of tested some stuff and then immediately regretted it and go, nah, never saying that one again because that felt really bad to say. Like, it's yeah, like, when you're starting out, you learn quite a lot quite quickly as to where your comfort level is around what you want to say on stage.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. So I reckon that we might have another waiata, another song. So we've got Deva Mahal, and this song is called Will Anything Change? Deva Mahal is an amazing queer musician. She's Wellington-based, and I feel like she's got some new material coming up soon. So I'll look out and see if there's some gigs coming up. Welcome back. You're on the Femme Rants show with Sian Cornell Torrington, and we are on Access Radio 106.1 FM. And I'm here with Lily Catastrophe and also Kura is in the other special room doing all of the cool tacking. So thank you, Kura. I'm just going to do a few little community notices. So the first thing that I want to talk about is a book launch that is happening on, it's on the 27th of March, and the book is called Of This Earth. So the Puka Puka, which I got to have a look at the out in the, what is it called now? Out in the plaza, I think. Mm-hmm. I just still call it out in the park. But it's this really amazing book, and it's they're describing it as a community archive and compass for mental health professionals working alongside Rainbow and Taketapui young people. And yeah, I definitely want to get a copy of it just as a community person who runs groups and facilitation. It looks like a really amazing resource. So they're going to be having a intergenerational panel conversation corridor. Dr. Elizabeth Kirikiri is going to be there, Dr. Jessica Hutchins, Chelsea De Cruz, and Kiwa Kahukura, exploring place, story, belonging, and what it means to support our young people at this present time in our world. So that is the launch of This Earth, and it's on the 27th of March, and I have found that on the Inside Out Instagram page. So we'll put a post on our Facebook page, but that looks really a cool thing to get along to. I also wanted to share a community notice of my own, which is that Queer and Trans Drawing Class is coming up in Wellington. So it's actually been a while since I've taught class in Pōneke, because I've been focusing on Te Awa Kairangi Lower Hutt and Nainai, where I live, and that's been so amazing to see who comes along from my community and around where I am. But we have got funding, so it's coming back to Wellington, and we're starting on Tuesday the 19th of May. We're at a very beautiful venue, which is 257 Willow Street. So it's fully accessible. There's lifts, there's accessible bathrooms, and there is fizzy water, which is the thing that, like, I was talking to someone about this yesterday, and they were like, oh, and they've got fizzy water. And I'm like, yes, they've got so many amazing things, but they also have fizzy water. We are starting on, Tuesday the 19th of May. It's from 6 till 8 in the evening. I have Creative Communities funding, which means that I have 6 funded places. So those are for people who are not working, people who would not otherwise be able to come and do this. And the rest of the places are $240 for the whole 6 weeks. So it's like $40 a class, all of your art materials provided. We draw amazing models from our community. It's lots of fun. And that is happening. So I will post about that on our Facebook page as well. There's also a Rainbow Families survey happening at the moment, but we are going to hear more about that in a little interview that my lovely partner Creek did at Out in the Plaza. So that is coming up. But just before that, I thought we would ask Lily Catastrophe what her recommendations are for the comedy festival. A little bit of a insider guide, perhaps.
Yeah, an insider guide to Comedy Fest. Wow, there's so many good things going on. Obviously, go and see literally everything, and I will forget some shows huge apologies to anyone whose shows I forget, but I think I'm really excited for Zach and Lisa Buy a Gun. That's going to be a really fun one. Zach Mandeville is an incredible, incredible comedian, and Lisa McLeod Whiting, one of the Billy T nominees for last year. It's going to be absolutely astounding. Hamus, which is a show by Aaron James Douglas and Keegan Thomas, that's going to be a really fun, kind of eclectic show about like sketch and improv and stand stand-up, and it's going to be just a chaotic, fun time. And yeah, Keegan and Aaron are two very good friends of mine as well. So yeah, it's going to be absolutely amazing. Who else would I like to shout out? Oliver Paul is putting on a return season of his debut solo hour. It is a debut solo stand-up hour, but it is also his debut stand-up hour. And it was very exciting. Featherbrained, that's going to be absolutely amazing. I saw it during New Zealand Fringe, and so if you missed out during Fringe, make sure you get along to the Comedy Fest run of it. It's going to be better, it's going to be tighter, it's going to be faster, it's going to be great.
Do you know as well Sarah Tuck?
Sarah Tuck.
Doing a clown show or something?
Yes, yeah. I've heard about this. That's definitely one that lots of people are really excited for as well, so that's going to be great.
Because I think they haven't made a show for a long time, but yeah.
Yeah, that's been one that I think a lot of people are getting really excited for within the community as well. So yeah, I've heard really good things about it.
And remind us what your show is called, please, Lily.
My show is called Little Sister. It is on from the 6th to the 9th of May at the Bats Theatre. And then if you know anyone in Auckland, I'm doing it up in Auckland as well on the 20th to the 23rd of May at Basement Theatre. So if you know people in Auckland, please tell them, because I don't know too many people there. And yes, that's
and
terrifying.
I love the Basement Theatre.
They're so good.
It's such a great, it's a really, really great space.
It's my favourite.
Yeah. And can I ask you just one last question about your show, Lily, which is at the beginning you talked about, it being an hour of just standing up on stage. And, when we're in a show, like a theatre show, and we get to kind of dress up, and it's almost like a bit of distancing or something from the, our bandmate talks about that, having a particular outfit that you put on, and then if it all goes terribly or whatever, it's like you take the outfit off and you kind of take some of it off. Mm. And I'm wondering, do you dress up for your stand-up show, or do you just wear what you're wearing?
I dress up a lot for burlesque, right? Yeah. Burlesque is the thing where I'm constantly dressed to the nines. I'm in heels and stuff. I feel like stand-up for me, I'm dressed down almost. Yeah. I'm being the most normal, vulnerable version of myself that I am when I'm on stage. And it's still, obviously heightened. I'm very silly and I'm, kind of walking across and blah, 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 saying words. But it is who the closest to the version of me that sits at home and, plays Pacopia in the morning. That is the stand-up version of me. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's so cool. And it's a real treat to hear about your, different kinds of performance and how you step into each of those as well. I'm really excited to come and see your show.
Yes
And I'm glad that it's, I think I'm here often. I miss things that I'm excited about because I'm away or I'm teaching at night and silly things like that, but it is in the diary. So that is Little Sister, Lily Catastrophe's hour of stand-up comedy. And it's on from the 6th until the 9th of May. It's part of the Comedy Festival and it's on at Bats Theatre. So get along to that, friends. And if I may, just do a push for booking your tickets early, because as an artist, it is quite nail-biting at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I actually just cancelled an event recently because I just can't go through with it. I can't keep waiting for people to book and pushing and pushing. So, and I know for myself, I'm sitting at home going, I am going to go to that thing. And I'm really trying to make myself just buy the tickets so that the artist can see it's going to be okay. People are going to come and I don't have to put so much energy into worrying about it. I can just put my energy into getting ready for the show. So, let's all book our tickets, friends. So thank you so much for coming in
and
talking to us on the Quilted Bananas show. And I'm hoping that we will still have enough time to play this wonderful interview, which is Creek Waddington on our Quilted Bananas stall out in the plaza and interviewing George Parker from and talking about the Rainbow Families Survey. So I'm just going to play this so you'll hear all the lovely noise in the background.
All right, we've got a little bit of background noise that we're competing with, and then I'll just turn the recording level down. All right, we're here out in the city, and there is some cool music in the background, but hopefully you can hear us. I'm here, and we've got George Parker here at our Quilted Bananas stall, and George is going to tell us all about the Rainbow Parenting Survey. George, fire away.
Kia ora, thanks, Cree. Well, kia ora, everyone. I am George Parker. I am a researcher up at Victoria University of Wellington. I am a queer and non-binary person, and I am a parent of a few kids. And we are doing a national survey asking our LGBTQIA+ parents how they experience raising their kids in Aotearoa. We firstly want to know, like, who our whānau are, because we've actually been left out of all national data sets related to who parents are and how whānau experience raising their kids in Aotearoa, because those surveys never asked gender or sexuality of parents. So number one, we want to know who our whānau are and how they organise themselves in their own queer and trans whānau constellations. And then we want to know about how you experience raising your kids in Aotearoa. What we already know is that the kids of rainbow parents do just fine, if not better, thank you very much. But what we also know is that rainbow parents have to do a lot of heavy lifting to navigate the worlds around them to deliver such awesome outcomes for our kids. And we don't want our rainbow whānau having to do that level of heavy lifting. So we are wanting to understand how you experience fertility providers, midwives, GPs, Plunkett nurses, early childhood providers, schools, health centres, sports clubs, and that's going to give us a really good steer on where to focus our energy to build inclusive practice for our rainbow whānau in Aotearoa.
Awesome. Georgia, can I ask you one or two more questions? Do you have time? Is that okay? Yes. Yeah, well, when we were talking just then, I was thinking about how, like, yeah, when I've seen maternity stuff and stuff like that, it is often really gender normative, and it's like, oh, I am so relieved that I'm not having babies, because I'd be going in there going like, hi, I have to let you know that I'm a butch non-binary person with a womb who's having a baby. Can I please be treated not with sort of mummy talk? my question is, do you already... At this early stage, do you already have a sense of, like, is it the case that people, there's sort of like an underground network and whispers, and people say that person's really good, that midwife's really good, and that kind of thing, or how does it work currently?
Yeah, great question. Like, we definitely know that queer and trans people look after each other around accessing inclusive providers, like, generally in our life, but including specifically during the family building journey. This project is called Inclusions Through Difference, and it's looking at the experiences of our rainbow parents up to parenting children up to age 18. It's following on from our first project, which was the Trans Pregnancy Care Project. So we already know that we're doing quite a lot of work with our birth care providers in Aotearoa, and we're seeing that reflected in the survey. So what the survey is telling us is that the pockets of best practice at the moment are midwives and early childhood educators. What we're also hearing is big areas of challenge, fertility providers, government departments, and schools, primary and secondary. So, our rainbow parents look after each other, but there are, once you kind of are really into the parenting journey, there's institutions you can't get around, like schools. My kids go to their local school. There isn't really another option of school. So it gets crunchier once you move out of that part of the kind of parenting journey where you get a lot more control over your provider. And also, like any of our rainbow parents outside of main centres, just don't have that choice of provider. Does that kind of make sense? So really variable depending on which thing people are having to engage in.
Yeah. And I guess... I was really shocked when the UK Supreme Court in that ruling, they just, one of the judges made this statement. He just goes, only women can give birth. And I was so shocked to hear that, because I was like, really, in 2025 you're saying that? And, like, I know heaps of non-binary and trans men and everything like that who have given birth. And I was just wondering, is New Zealand or Aotearoa, is it sort of, how does it compare with the likes of the UK at the moment?
I mean, I take the measure of the pushback that we're seeing at the moment around inclusivity in the kind of family building journey as a measure of the fact that we've been covering ground. So the Trans Pregnancy Care Project, as a great example, was actually co-funded between the Health Research Council of New Zealand and Manatū Haora. Now, our own kind of government institutions invested in generating some knowledge and research to help ensure equity for our trans and non-binary whānau during the family building journey. So we were doing awesome. We've seen a big pushback under the latest government. Sadly, we've seen a real resistance to using inclusive language and framing and even imagining who has babies in this country, but I take it as a compliment that we've obviously done some good work to even generate the need for a pushback, and we're not going anywhere. It's a blip. I think that we're gaining a critical mass, undoubtedly.
Okay, thank you so much for your optimistic kōrero there, because yeah, it's a blip. I'm going to hold on to that, because I was like, yeah, surely they can see, like, we exist. There's, like, you can, it's sort of like you can pretend that we don't exist, but that is pointless. Like, be aware, it is pointless.
Like, yeah, and, like, what we're always telling our birth care providers in Aotearoa is that queer and trans parents have always been there. We will always be there. If you don't know we're there, it's because your systems obliterate knowledge of us. Like, you don't ask us who we are. And if you don't know how to care for us, then it's time to build your skills. If people want to fill in the survey, yeah.
How can people fill in the survey, George?
Okay, so there's a few things. You can go onto Instagram and find our Inclusion Through Difference Instagram page. That's got heaps of information about the survey and a link to the survey. You can email me on george.parker@vuw.ac.nz, and I'll share the information. And you can jump on the Rainbow Families Aotearoa Facebook group. The algorithms have been obliterating us out there, but I have been spamming that lovely group. Thanks, whānau. So you'll find all the information on our survey there too.
Thank you so much, George.
Amazing. Oh my goodness. I just adore George. They are such a amazing, as you can hear, warrior for our communities, and academic and researcher, and worked for many, 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 many years as a midwife themselves. So really, really want to share that survey, and they did such a great job of talking about why it's so important to know, yeah, that we queer and trans people are having babies and are having families, and we do need proper care, and we do need to be acknowledged, and there are just so many barriers to our communities getting good healthcare, and it can be hard enough to manage to get yourself to the doctor in the first place, let alone all of the being misgendered. And I loved how Creek put that, like, what was it, mama, like mummy talk or something. So I'll just repeat, so that survey is closing on the 31st of March, so when you hear this show it will be Sunday, and so there will be, I think, a couple of days to fill in that survey. And you can find it on Instagram, which their account is called Inclusion Through Difference, or you can email george.parker, P-A-R-K-E-R, at vuw.ac.nz, or you can find their group on Facebook, which is called Rainbow Families. And as George was saying, I'd just like to tautoko what they were saying in terms of the algorithm, which is which I'm also experiencing with my work, which is that it is really not working for queer and trans and non-binary people. So in terms of social media, please comment on our things. Please put emojis on our things. Please share our things. Like, with queer and trans drawing class, it just used to sell out in a week. It was so easy. And I didn't even advertise the free places, because they would go so fast just through the networks. And these days, I am just doing an infinite significantly greater amount of work pushing my staff, asking people in person. I've gone back to making flyers and posters. So just be aware of that, whānau. If you're seeing queer, trans, non-binary content, people doing things, even if you're not going to go to it, if you can comment on it, if you can share it, if we can help to lift each other up, that would be really, really very helpful. Is that something that you're noticing at all as well, Lily, on the socials?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I think, you know, kind of the constant fear of a shadow ban is like so present. And so I'm really careful to kind of, you know, make sure that I'm basically self-censoring at this point, you know, kind of online. But yeah, I think engage with stuff, you know, share, like, comment, follow, da-da-da-da-da, all of that kind of good stuff, because, yeah, otherwise you're not going to hear about it.
Yeah. And do you have ways around it? Like, are you sort of, like, what I've been going, man, I need to make posters, I need to make flyers, I need to ask people in class, can you put these posters up? Like, yeah. Are you going back to those kind of ways?
Yeah, or? I love it. I mean, look, I love a good flyer, I love a good poster. One of my favorite things to do is to just sit on and you know, kind of like a just image creating software, whichever one I'm using at the time, to just kind of make a poster, mark something up. That is, you know, kind of, I think we all, like, I would love to get off Meta, to be perfectly honest. but unfortunately, it is the beast that we all have to wrestle with. So, I mean, like, yes, I love designing a poster, putting it up, going to the cafes and putting flyers down and stuff. That's really fun for me. But yeah.
Do you do an email list?
I do have an email list. Do I have the spoods to regularly email people? No, but maybe that is an advantage, because it means that I will never spam you, because I will never have the energy to send out stuff if it's not like, hey, here's a show coming up. But yes, I do have I've got a website, lilycatastrophe.com. You can sign up to my mailing list through that if you want. Email is best, because then we don't have to go through awful social media platforms.
Yes. Yeah, I have been trying to persuade people to sign up for my email list, which I've kept for many, many, many years, and I do kind of send them out every couple of months, and that is a form where I'm like, it's funny, it's like the oldest form of technology is like still the best in terms of actually reaching people, but you don't get the buzz from it.
No.
Because mostly people don't email you back.
No.
But they do read it.
Yeah.
Like, I see people on the street and they're like, oh, I loved your last newsletter. And I'm like, awesome. But we don't get that hit like we do on social media of like, oh, people are liking it, people are sharing it.
Yeah.
So.
Reply. Say, hi, loved this.
Yeah. I know. Always tell people that you love their art. It's very, very good. So I think that's our show. I had another song, and I can't remember what it is. So, this is a love letter to my darling Creek. We love this album, and I write all the time, and this is a song about the people we love in our life.
Of my life, this line is so painful to write. I never did dream I'd be without you tonight. That chapter, how it ended, my heart broke and it bended. The weight so great, put back out of place, and I probably won't ever mend it. And it's okay, I'm alright. I keep telling myself to keep it light, I'm fine. It's just time. I know that you were never mine, and you will always be a permanent marker on me, and I will always be searching for you. These are the pages I meant.
These are the pages, these are the pages spiraling back now. All alone.
So thank you so much for listening to the Femme Rants show. This song is called Pages. It's by Bitch off their album Bitchcraft, and I highly recommend looking them up. Have a great week, whānau.
In front of me, nothing but empty streets. I just want us both okay. We rolled the dirt road back to where it's made us. You are the lever, I'm the believer. These are the cages,
these are the pages I'm in.
The Quilt of Bananas program plays every Sunday, 10 to 11am, with news, views and music.
A collective of presenters, advertisers, community events and discusses news of interest to lesbians, queer women and non-binary folk.
We have interviews about past and future sports and cultural events, politics, films, art shows.
The program is sponsored through the generosity of the Rural Foundation.
And it plays every Sunday from 10 to 11am on Wellington Access Radio, 106.1 FM.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.